Amen. What a true, true statement. The author of that song surely knew that the best is yet to come. Hey, heard of an old preacher said one time, said, all of this and heaven too. Amen. Isn't that great to know that God gives us blessings down here and then has promised us that glorious place in heaven? Church, let's agree today in the name of the Lord Jesus for a mighty miracle. Amen. On behalf of these needs this morning. Father, we come. The Lord is with us.
There is no problem so hard God cannot solve it. There is no mountain so big He cannot move it. There is no storm cloud so dark my God cannot calm it. There is no heartache so deep He cannot soothe it. He carried the
Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Those of you that come forward this morning for prayer, receive it by faith. Amen. Many, many times we have to be reminded that with His stripes we are healed. And we don't have to beg for healing. We don't have to plead for healing, but we do have to believe for healing. And I think the best way that is done is just thanking Him. Amen. You know, we can never thank Him enough. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Genesis, chapter number 17. Praise God. How many blessed folks we got in the house this morning?
Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, it ought to be a good congregation to preach to. We got that many people blessed. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Genesis, chapter number 17, beginning with verse number 1. And when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee, in their generations. Can we bow our head? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the opportunity to stand today, God, and read your precious and holy anointed word. Father, I'm just a vessel, just a messenger. I need your anointing. God, I desire your anointing. I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, my mind, my heart, and my spirit. God, that I'll be nothing more than just a mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit this morning. God, speak to us that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive, obedient, God. I pray, Lord, if there's any needs here today, God, you are the one that can meet any need. And I pray for this congregation that we'll be in one mind and one accord, receptive to the Holy Spirit. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I sincerely mean that. Many times we run into folks who are not physically able to be in the house of the Lord. I shudder to think that I would become in that situation. But if I do, amen, I want somebody to put it on tape. I want somebody to do something, because I can't go without worshiping and praising God. I need it. I'm addicted to the power of God. This morning, reading from Genesis chapter 17, I want to bring a message entitled, After the Promise. After the Promise. How many love promises? How many knows the Bible's full of them? Amen. God's promise. How many knows God's promise is true? Amen. Thank God for that. All promises don't come true. Amen. You know, this week we took the grandkids up, and one of the things they wanted to do, you think we got bucket lists. Grandkids have got a huge bucket barrel. And one of the things they wanted to do was ride horses. So, you know, we kind of changed their mind a little bit, tried to, but no, we don't ride horses. So we tried, and it wasn't the right time of the year, and it wasn't the right time of the week. Some of them now, during this time of year, only open on the weekend. Some of them are not open at all till like April and all. So we just about given up on it, and we saw this, went by and saw this, I think it's a Close to Heaven, A Little Touch of Heaven horse stables or something, and they didn't look like there's anybody open there or anything, but there's one truck. So we pulled in, and I went in and began to talk to the man. Turned out he was an owner. Turned out he was a Christian. Amen. And we began to talk, and I told him I had a couple of grandkids out there that had a kind of on their bucket list that they wanted to ride a horse. And I had the thing about it, I had promised them that during that time we would ride a horse, but I couldn't find one open. But the promise came through for them. So, and I, you know what I told him? I said, if you could give them just a short ride just around the parking lot, I would become a hero. I'd be their hero because I made the promise come true that I told them. But unfortunately, all of my promises maybe have not come true in my lifetime. There's been times that for whatever reason I couldn't fulfill the promise. I might have to call somebody and say, I'm so sorry. Something's come up. I'm not just able to be there. But let me tell you something. That is not so with God's promise. Many of us are still holding on to the hopes that God's promise is going to come true. Let me tell you, keep holding on. It will happen. Amen. He'll never have to go back on a promise. His promise is true. It may not have come into fulfillment yet, but it's on its way. Amen. Glory to God. I got to tell you a little bit on our Friday morning little devotion that we have. I think the women do it at the hair salon. We do it at Chick-fil-A. And we get together with a group of men and we have our coffee in Chick-fil-A and we read and study and kind of be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And we're looking at a book now. We spend a lot of time talking about this wonderful concept of delayed gratification. Not instant gratification, delayed gratification. I'm just like you. I like instant gratification. Amen. I like the short lines in the drive-through. I like quick attention. You know, sometimes I'll go in Walmart and there'll be lines all over. I see one little place over there. It's only got one person. I'll run over there and I'll get behind them. And it's the slowest person in the world. And I'm looking at them long lines are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. You know why? Because I want instant gratification. Many, many times I enter into my prayer closet. God, I need you now. I need you to work now. I need you to do this, Lord. I can't wait any longer. I need instant gratification. But the more I read in the Bible, the more God operated in delayed gratification. Amen. And I just want to say that. Amen. To build up your hope this morning. I just want to tell you that. Because if God promised it, it may not happen now, but it is coming. Amen. It may be delayed gratification. It's only delayed from our aspect because it's right on time when God does it. Amen. He has a special way. He has a special time and a special opportunity. Amen. To fulfill His promise. Glory to God. If anybody in the house knows what I'm talking about, put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So God has spoke to Abraham, Abram at this time, which in itself is just miraculous. It's just wonderful. I was so intrigued by the fact that God in His busyness, God in His infinite wisdom will still take time to talk to man. Amen. To still take time to encourage us, to talk to us, to lift us up. And He comes to Abram, and Abram is 99 years old, and God begins to make a covenant with him. He speaks to him, and a covenant is given. I want to look at some of the details, if you would, some of the components of the covenant that God made with Abram. Let's look at what this covenant kind of reveals. First of all, in this covenant is a commandment. How many knows and understands that God is not only a God of promise, a God of healing, and a God of anointing, He's also a God of commandment. Amen. And commandments. And He expects us, as He abides by His covenant or His word, He expects us to abide by that same covenant. And His commandments are more than 10, by the way. They're multitude of covenants, of commandments that He puts in there. Here's the commandment He told Abram. Walk before me. Walk before me. What a simple task that is. But I found out with Trey, it's not that simple. I had to completely tell him over and over again, do not run ahead of me. Do not go into the street. Watch the cars. Walk with me. If you're not going to hold my hand, hold my breech leg one, because you don't and can't see the danger that is out there. You go headstrong. I'm telling you, not as a suggestion, I'm telling you, Trey, as a commandment, walk with me. And he still doesn't like it. Many of us know that we're supposed to be walking with God, and sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we don't like it when He reaches out and pulls us back. It's because we didn't see what was coming, but God knows. Amen. If you've never been caught by the nape of the neck spiritually and drawn back into subjection, amen, let me tell you, it's a respectful position. Thank God for saving me from that. Thank God for not letting me run my mouth off that time. Thank God for keeping me in check. Amen. Praise God. So in this covenant is a commandment. Abram, walk before me and be thou perfect, complete, holy unto God. Secondly, I want us to understand the covenant. How many of us know, how many lawyers we got in the house today? Praise God. We need to get a house full of lawyers. We need to get some folks saved. I'm just kidding you. Wow. From what little I understand, there are covenants called unilateral and bilateral. Uni and bi, you know those? Let me bring it into terms that I can understand. A unicycle. I can't ride, but a bicycle I can. Uni means one. Bilateral means more than one. This is not a unilateral covenant. Okay? God said, I will if thou will. Mm-hmm. I will bless you if you walk with me. And it's not only to Abram, it was to the children of Israel. And let me tell you, it wasn't only for Abram and the children of Israel and his seed, but it's for you and me today still. Amen. I will if you will. A unilateral contract is one person, abiding by the rules of the contract. Bilateral means both sides agree to the terms. Amen. And then the second thing, and this is what we get real excited. We don't like that kind of talk, but then blessings promised. I have never got upset at God for promising me a blessing. Amen. In fact, the more he gives me, the more I thank him for it. And he's blessed me immensely. One of these days, we just need to have a blessings testimony and let folks tell. You probably wouldn't get but two people to stand up because it takes so much time talking about the blessings of God. But in this contract, in this covenant, God says blessings are promised. He said, I will multiply thee exceedingly. And then I love this. Worship is established. You know what Abram did when he found out all this? He fell on his face. Worship is established. You know, worship is established by God. He wants us to worship him in whatever form, whether it be at the altar here, whether it be at your home, on your job, whatever it is. We need to understand and focus on the ability of how to worship God. You know, just a quick thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. That's not really a sincere worship of God. Man. I think a worship of God is getting our heart and our mind and focused on who God is and what a privilege it is to come before him. And one of the things that helps me is I realize spiritually that there is no longer a curtain and a veil between me and God. Do you understand? I don't have to go through anybody to get to God. Amen. He's an instant part of my communication. I can come boldly before the throne of grace for whatever problem, whatever situation is. When you realize that, Brother Jim, then you get a real focus and a concept of what true worship is. Amen. Not just saying, I love you, Lord, but from your heart, it pours out. God, I can't make it without you. I need you. I love you, God. You're my everything. I had no life till you came in. I had no direction, God, until you picked me up and you dusted me off and you set my feet on a solid rock. Worship is established. I like the word established. Amen. The Bible talks about be ye established, rooted, grounded. Amen. Not in our ideas or our opinions, but in the Word of God. Next, in this particular covenant, as God speaking to Abram, I want you to understand the wonderful privilege of being able to hear from God. The Bible says God talked to Abram. Oh, that's wonderful. Who am I? David said that thou art mindful of. I'm the dust of the clay of the earth. I'm nothing. But you take time to talk to me. You know there's people in this world that I cannot get counsel with. And I'm not talking presidents and kings. I'm talking about my doctor. You got to go through buttons. You got to go through numbers. Thank God. I'm not having a heart attack trying to get my doctor. I don't know if I can count to three. But not with God. I said, not with God. Oh, hallelujah. How many's ever needed him in the middle of the night? How many's ever needed him in, on an instant's time and found him attentive and found him, amen, not only willing to talk to us, but actually talks and speaks to us? I'm going to establish that, Abram. I'll talk to you. Thank God. Thank God for that voice. Let me tell you something. I found out that all of God's talk, amen, it's not really all that pleasant. Most of it is. Some of it is directional. Amen. There's a lot of do's in the Bible, but there's also a lot of don'ts in the Bible. Amen. And if you'll abide by the don'ts, boy, them do's will come automatically. Amen. God was establishing a verbal communication with Abram. The next thing was, you know what, Abram? I don't think I'm going to call you Abram anymore. It means highly exalted. But I'm going to call you Abraham, father of nations. Glory to God. Just in that name change alone, let's Abram know that it's not about me, it's all about God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what I often say? I don't care if you never remember my name. I don't even care if you never remember the church name. But please remember the God who made it all possible. Amen. I don't care if, you know what, at my funeral, I don't care if whoever stands and preaches over me, I don't care if they ever mention my name or not. I just want them to tell who made it responsible, amen, for me to leave this old earthly shell, amen, and receive a glorified body. I want them to talk more about Jesus and less about me. And if there's anybody in the congregation that's not ready to go home, I hope that they'll find Jesus when they're tending me home. Glory to God. A name change. Hallelujah. Then he began to be the blessings. I'll make you fruitful. I'll make you fruitful. You know, you got to understand who he's talking to. A 99-year-old man. Hello. We're so busy telling God why it can't happen. We're too tied up and to believe that it actually could happen. Faith to believe that all things is possible. I noticed Abram didn't say, "Well, Lord, you know I'm already on Medicare. I'm retired." I just don't see me being too fruitful. Amen. I also learned that in these rides. I found out that it's not enough to ride a go-kart one time. You got to get back in line and ride it again. "Papa, are you going to ride again?" "No, once is enough for me." And my daddy's words. My daddy, I remember him telling me a long, long time ago, "Was it Dollywood? We rode that log flume. We went down through there, and you know, they take your picture." Lord have mercy. Anyway, you know, you're doing this and holding on the side. Well, and daddy took his picture, and his face was as red as a tomato. And he had his eyes scrunched up, and I believe his hands actually indented that little boat. It was holding on so tight. So when we got through, we all jumped off and said, "Daddy, let's go ride it again." He said, "Nope." I said, "Daddy, wasn't it fun?" "Yeah." He said, "But it don't take as much fun for me as it used to." How many's been there? "God, I'm 99 years old." He didn't say that. He took God at his word. You know, I think God sometimes get tired of us and, "Well, God, I just don't think that can happen." Are you kidding me? You're talking to God. You're not talking to a president. You're not talking to a pastor. You're not talking to somebody that supervises you. You're talking to God, the very one who hung the stars in space, the very one who created heaven and earth, the very one who put us, amen, and breathed breath and life into us. It can happen. And not only can it happen, it will happen if we believe him. Glory to God. Yeah, I'll make you fruitful. Not only, Abraham, am I going to bless you, I'm going to bless your seed. And I'm going to give you land that you're a stranger in now. Oh, glory to God. I know he's talking about a natural land, but how many knows that spiritual land that he's talking about? Amen. Did you ever feel like you was a stranger? Did you ever feel like you didn't belong to anything? Did you ever feel like you was had no confidence or anything? But you know, when Jesus Christ came into our life, when he filled us with the Holy Ghost, amen, we became, glory to God, fellow citizens. We became, amen, heirs and joint heirs to what God owns. Hallelujah. Oh, what a promise. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, amen. Glory to God. What an infilling. Praise God. Give you the land as an everlasting possession. Don't worry about Israel being taken over. And it ain't because of the protection of the United States. How many knows the Bible? An everlasting possession. Glory to God. Whether they do it over talks of peace, they ought to consult the Word of God and see that that land, that ground belongs to Israel. Not because the United States said it, not because a peace treaty said it, but because God said it. Amen. And that's as political as I'm going to get, because God said it. And you know what? I'm trying to learn to put my faith and trust in what God says. Amen. Because he doesn't lie. This land will be given as an everlasting possession. And finally, I'm going to give you a son at 99 years old. I'm going to give you a son. And how many knows it was Isaac? Oh, we could go on and on and on about the promises. I love the promises. I love to preach about promises. Amen. I love to be the recipient of promises. I ought to just write a book. I never would finish it because it would never be ending, because God's promises go on and on and on and on. I love the promises. But don't you understand? Along with promises, sometimes there's an after effect. I'm not discounting promises. I'm not saying we have to do anything to earn promises. But I want you to look at the uniqueness of the story. It goes from chapter 17, and I want us to turn to chapter number 22. This is after Isaac was born and after Sarah conceived, and Isaac was growing up now, and God visits Abraham again. This time the news is not as exhilarating. This time the direction would make a lukewarm Christian think their world was crumbling down. But can I remind you, Abraham was not a lukewarm Christian. From the way that I read, Abraham was upholding his end of the bargain. He was providing the bilateral components of what it meant to have two sides agreed. God was certainly upholding his, but Abraham was true to God, to be known as the friend of God. And Abraham was living righteous and worshiping God. And in chapter 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, listen, I want you to look at this. And Abraham said, behold, here I am. Notice that's exactly what he said when God was the God of promise. Here I am, Lord, or here am I. And he says it again, just as quickly, just as reverently. This time it was not promise, it was a temptation. But here I am. Here I am, Lord. And God says, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. My Lord, same God. God has spoken to him. You remember, in the promise, he established that he would talk to Abraham.
He established that he would direct him. He established that he would bless him. He established him that he would let his seed be fruitful and multiply so much that kings would come out of the generation that followed after Abraham. But now he's telling him to take thy son, thine only son, and offer him to me as a burnt sacrifice. The blessing that I've given you. And Abraham doesn't question God. How many of us could say that? Don't hold your hand up. I don't know that I could. I don't know that I could. I know that I want to be submissive unto God, but if God made a promise and then all of a sudden decided to take that promise that I've given you and take it and give it back to me as an offering. Amen. That takes a closeness with God. But a test is given. I want to focus for just a few minutes before closing on a trip to the land of Moriah. Now, there's not so much to do. In fact, Moriah is only mentioned a few times in the Bible. There's not much pertaining that I can find that leads up to this particular time about the land of Moriah. After the fact, we find that that's where David was able to go at one time, and they call it the threshing floor. Not only that, David's son Solomon realized the reverence of that place, and where David was submissive unto God, and he respected it so much that he constructed the Solomon's temple there, which remained for 400 years before Nebuchadnezzar's army came in and destroyed it. So after the fact that Abraham visited Moriah became very notable. But until this time, we don't see where anybody particularly visited Moriah under the leadership and the guidance of God. But God said, go to the land of Moriah. Now, understand, there's some key things here that I thought about. You know, sometimes if we act swiftly, the seriousness or the hurt of it is not as bad. It means never pull a Band-Aid off. You know, they tell me if you just jerk that thing off, it'd be a lot better. But how many times do you go, ooh, just ease it off. Get me some alcohol. I would think if God gave me a promise and then wanted me to offer that promise back, the quicker that I would do it, the better off and the less terrible it would be. But understand here, the way that I read the Bible, it took 3 days to get to the specific location in the land of Moriah. I said, God, I'm not questioning you. I know your wisdom is so far above mine. My thoughts and my concepts are way beneath your ability. But, you know, even though we don't want to question God, why did you let him mull that over for 3 days? 3 days he's walking with two of his servants and little Isaac by his side to the land of Moriah. Oh, we love the promise. But we don't want to go to Moriah. Both of them was God's instruction. Many of us take the blessings and love and shout and praise God, but I don't know if I want to go to the land of Moriah. I don't know if I want to enter into that temptation. But not Abraham. He said, here am I. So his two servants are following, and Isaac, and for 3 days, the servants don't know. They got the wood. They split the wood. Isaac just thinks we're routinely going to worship the Lord like we've done time and time again to offer up a sacrifice. Little does he realize that he is the sacrifice. Doesn't know yet. But Abraham knows. In that first 24-hour span, imagine that's excruciating pain. But yet he obeys God. Think about that. 3 days, plenty of time to say, you know what? I just can't do this. Lord, I'll do anything else you ask. I'm not going to ask you if you ever promised God. Lord, just don't ask me to do that. God, I'll be in your ministry. I'll whatever you want me to do, but not that. For 3 days, it's mulled over in Abraham's mind. And finally, he says he lifts up his eyes after 3 days and he sees the place. Now, God wasn't specific when he first told him, but when he saw the place, he knew it. God's still speaking to him. That's the place. That's where I want you. Sometimes it may take us 3 days to get to where God wants us. You remember instant gratification? Sometimes it's better to look for delayed gratification. Because God's ready. He's like Delta. He's ready when you are. But many times we're not ready. We're not ready for that obedience. We're not ready for that commandment. We're not ready to go through with our part. It may take 3 days. Sometimes it may not. But after 3 days, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the place where God wanted him to be. Many of us still haven't seen the place where God wants us to be. Some of us are still on that 3-day journey wondering, God, what do I do? How do I do? But many of you, under the sound of my voice, you lifted up your eyes and you saw the place where God wants you to be. Amen. And sometimes it's not always a pleasant place. Sometimes it's not a place of popularity. Sometimes it's a place of great sacrifice. But let me tell you one thing. Those sacrifices that you have given, amen, that God won't multiply you with blessing after blessing after blessing. If we'll do our part, God will do his part. And Abraham lifted his eyes. And he saw the place. And I like his faith. He said to his servants, you stay here. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And we will come back. I'm paraphrasing now, but his faith was that I won't come back by myself. We'll come back. But yet he fulfilled God's direction. Amen. The land of Moriah. Let me tell you a little bit of the land of Moriah. The land of Moriah spiritually is probably not a place where you're going to run the aisles. And I love running the aisles. I love shouting. I love lifting my hands and glorifying, praising God. But let me tell you something. I've seen too many people spend so much time in victory and praise, they never get to the spiritual land of Moriah, where the true worshipers of God, where the true devoted, committed Christians, amen. It's easy, amen, amen, to walk on the water when Jesus is walking beside you, but sometimes it feels like you got to walk alone, and the Lord is there, amen. So many of us have not visited lately the land of Moriah, where we get our strength, amen, where we offer sacrifice, where it's not about us, it's all about what God wants in our life. Man, as they begin to walk up the hill, and boy, howdy. You know, God has a way of getting your attention. I've read about Isaac, you know, and heard about it ever since I was in Sunday school. But that's because I knew, I'd read the end of the story and I knew what was going to happen. So it didn't really have that astounding effect, if you know what I mean. Just as we read about Noah and Ark, we knew he was going to survive, but they didn't. Abraham was going on faith because that part of the chapter had been written yet. And God has a way of bringing everything into focus. And this time, you know, I'm walking up there and it's one of the grandkids. And they look up and they say, Papa, here's the wood, here's the fire. But where's the sacrifice? And I believe Abraham was moved on by God. It'd been so easy for some of us lukewarm Christians to say, well, God's taking you back. I don't know what I've done. For God to go back on his promise. No, God wasn't going back on his promise. But Abraham, because he had talked to God and because God had talked to him, he said, God will supply. God will supply. The name of that place became Jehovah Jireh. Meaning God will see or God will supply. It's all right, son. And I knew his heart. The fleshly part of Abraham, amen, was torn. But his spirit, amen, was holding on to the promise of God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there when it looked bleak? And you was almost sick of worry and distress, but your spirit says, just hold on. Just hold on. Victory's coming. Just hold on. Healing's coming. Yeah, but look what the doctor said. Just hold on. Healing's coming, because God is not a liar. God is a promiser. And when his promise is given, it will be fulfilled. Never mind, Isaac. God will provide the land of Moriah. In my mind, and I don't know, I've never been there, to me it looked like probably a place of desolation, a place of death. A place that maybe was a little void of a lot of vegetation. No, I don't know, it's just, that's Eddie's opinion. I don't know, it's just, maybe it was just the frame of mind that we're having to do what God has told us to do. Now, not only does he get to the mountain, not only does he tell Isaac that God will provide, he binds Isaac. He ties up his little boy. He binds up his promise. 99 years old, and God gave him the promise. Oh, he had a son with Hagar, but it wasn't the same. This was the son of his true love, his wife Sarah. This is what was a promise. And he wraps it up, and he binds it up, and he gives it to God. I give it to you, God. It wasn't mine. It was only on loan. But I give it to you. When's the last time you offered everything you got to God? Everything. Not just what you don't desire anymore. Not just what you think you can live without. But when's the last time you said, God, everything you blessed me with, it's not mine. It's yours. And he bound it. And he laid it on the altar. His promise. His seed. The bones of his bones. His legacy. And he takes the knife, the Bible says, and he draws back the knife. He's committed. He's dedicated. He's faithful. And God says, sends the angel, says, no, Abraham, hold it. Don't. I see now that thou art truly upholding thy part of the covenant. And I believe God couldn't wait. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. And not only through you, but through Isaac. Take him off the altar. Unbind him. Take the bands off that have him bound. Glory to God. Sometimes our greatest strength is not in the promises, but it's in the land of Moriah. It's in the land of sacrifice. In the land of obedience. Or it can become, understand, the land of Moriah, which was associated with death and sacrifice, became a place of worship. Listen, I'm trying to close, but think about it. The place of your sacrifice can turn into a place of worship. Solomon built the temple in the land of Moriah. Glory to God. Praise went up in the land of Moriah. But because Abraham was devoted, because he was committed, because he was dedicated, he was willing. He was so willing that the knife was in his hand. That's commitment. Yeah, we like the promise. But what about after the promise? Come on. What about after the promise and before we even visualize or see the evidence of the promise, we're still able to sacrifice to God, to give Him praise, give Him worship, to give Him our time, to give Him our ability. Yeah. After the promise, the land of Moriah may come. Many of you are living right now in anticipation of the fulfilling of a great promise. But this may be your time of Moriah. Okay? Not discounting your promise. I'm not saying it's not going to come to pass. In fact, it's the opposite. I'm encouraging you to hold on because it will come to pass. But right now, there may be a little testing of your faith. Right now, there may be a little tempering of your commitment and dedication. A piece of steel that's never been tempered won't be worth a flip. It'll break first time it comes into contact. But you get a piece of steel that's been through the fire. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many knows, glory to God, it'll stand the test of time. There's a whole other message there, and I ain't got the time or the energy to get into it. I just want you to understand that after the promise, there may come the land of Moriah, but God's still in both. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every saint of God.